This is a Defocus Media production.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the 2020 podcast, Canada's number one optometry podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Harbir Sayan. Thank you again for taking the time to join me. As always, truly grateful for all the support. Before I get into it, I'm going to ask you a big favor like I always do. Please make sure you like, hit subscribe, and share with your friends. Leave a comment, leave a review. All the things that you've been doing all this time for the last, what has it been, a little over 3 years now to support the podcast and help it grow and become the number one in optometry in Canada. So thank you so much for all of that support and continued support. As always, I'm trying to bring on guests that are going to help us improve and become better at our profession, of course, in optometry, in eye care. And today I have a repeat guest, one of my favorite guests from a couple of years ago, Dr. Charles Pasternak, who is a physician, graduate from McGill University, a fellow Canadian now living in Miami, Florida. But most importantly for this discussion, the founder of Avalux. If you haven't heard of Avalux, of course, it is a precision optical filter that is incredibly effective for patients who are suffering from light sensitivity and migraine. So I'm very excited. The first conversation that Dr. Pasternak and I had a couple years ago had a lot of traction. A lot of people were really interested in the conversation. And Avalux has come a long way since then. Some really cool and exciting announcements to make on this podcast here. So make sure you stay tuned through the entire podcast. But thank you again, Dr. Pasternak, for coming back on. I really appreciate having you here.
Well, first of all, I appreciate it that you're having me on as a repeat guest. I guess I didn't blow it too badly the first time. But all kidding aside, I'm really excited, and particularly in having the opportunity to spread the message and share the word about Avalux, just something that I'm just so incredibly proud of. And from my perspective, is just the legacy of my career. A Canadian physician, went through McGill Medical School, did my specialty training there. And no, I'm neither a neurologist nor an ophthalmologist, but as the father of two daughters who suffer from migraine, got involved in this about 10 years ago. And what has transpired during those 10 years is just so gratifying, particularly in how much and how many people it's going to help.
Absolutely. I'm sure how many people it's already helped is pretty astounding, but the number of people that will continue to get benefit from this is amazing. But you mentioned you're neither a neurologist or ophthalmologist, but I actually feel that it's almost more important that you have the family kind of history that's brought you into this. Like, I have daughters of my own, so I know how far I would go to help them to cure a condition that's chronic and they're suffering from. I feel like that's almost more important than somebody who's simply researching it for the sake of becoming a successful researcher. Would you agree with
that? Without a doubt. Again, it's not even a job. It's a passion. It is something I committed to a decade ago, and I was going to see it through the end. And in all honesty, when we began this project a decade ago, there was no guarantee. It had never been done before. There was nothing really like what we were doing. But it was the time in medical science where there was a really strong push in the field of migraine. And the reason why, I mean, migraine, for those who don't know, whenever I say that, I kind of just chuckle because it seems like everybody either has a friend, family member, a coworker, or they themselves suffer from migraine. But to put into perspective, migraine is the third most prevalent disease in the world.
Wow.
In the world of all diseases. And it doesn't get the attention, say, of heart disease or cancer, because while migraine doesn't kill you, the disability it causes is enormous. And that is why it is also noted to be the sixth most disabling disease in the world. So it's a genetic disorder that if you're unlucky enough to get it, you really do look for ways to manage your symptoms to get along with your daily life. And that's kind of the whole purpose of Avalux. And it was about 10 years ago that the FDA actually did come out publicly and state, we as medical researchers need to find better mechanisms, better ways to treat our patients who suffer from migraine. They're in the US healthcare system. They're very expensive to the healthcare system. But the reality is, as people, they suffer and they really do struggle to get through their activities of daily living.
Absolutely. And through the conversations that I've been having with patients since you and I spoke a couple of years ago and have stayed in touch since then, I actually ask my patients much more thoroughly than I used to. In the past, I'd say, do you have any medical conditions? They'll say, well, I get migraine. And also, I'll just write it down and then move on to the next thing. But now I ask, tell me about that. How often? How severe? How does it affect your life? And gosh, it's incredible how many people simply say, I can't function. I go close the doors, close the blinds, lay down. I have kids, I have a job, but I can't leave the house. Like, and how much of an impact that has on people's lives, people's productivity, and the economy, even on a greater scale. I know there's a lot of data on that, wondering if you'd be comfortable kind of speaking to that, the impact it has on the economy. You've already mentioned on the medical system, of course, it has quite a burden as well.
Sure. I mean, what we know today are people who suffer from migraine, almost 1 in 4 of them are going to visit an emergency room in the course of the year. More than 50% of them are not going to be able to get through their workday. And almost 60% of them can get through what we commonly call activities of daily living, whether it is picking up your children after school, cooking a meal, going out on a Saturday night with friends, attending a social event or a family event on a Sunday. So when you're dealing with a disorder that would actually inhibit 6 out of 10 people, you really do understand how severe it is.
I actually had a wonderful guest on a little while back, Amy, who has an online community that she's built primarily on Instagram called The Migraine Life. And she talks a lot about that. And one of the biggest things is creating the awareness about this condition. And up until I spoke to Amy, I would say, oh, you have migraines, it's just migraines, it's a headache. But she would say, I stop people from saying migraines, it's migraine, it's a condition, it's a disease, I have a migraine attack. And really helping to kind of change the perspective on it, I think is step one for so many people, because we often dismiss it as just a headache. But as you, from your personal experience with your daughters and the patients that you've seen and or dealt with through Avalux, it's much, much more than that. I'm wondering if you could share, actually, maybe before we go into the stats and the effectiveness or efficacy of Avalux, I'd love to hear kind of the history of Avalux.
Sure.
Some of the science that kind of led to what it is now, and then we'll talk about exactly what it is now and why it's such a precision filter.
Sure. Traditionally in healthcare, when you're talking about treatment or attempting to manage symptoms of a disorder, conventionally, typically, we talk about pharmaceuticals. And look, there's nothing to take away from pharmaceuticals. They've changed our lives, and they changed our lives for the better. And some of the research that's been done and some of the incredible work that's been done in the pharmaceutical industry has been just spectacular. But not everything can be treated with pharmaceuticals. And the reason being is people do develop adverse events or side effects or medication-medication interactions. And some people, in the case of my daughter, after a few months, she would just become tolerant to the treatment and it wouldn't have the same effect. And there are other medical devices, particularly in the space of migraine, like neuromodulators that work. But when you look at treatments, you typically think of pills. So this is why it's so important to get the word out. And people sometimes look at me and say, oh, how can glasses treat a migraine attack? How could they manage a migraine attack? And it's really interesting. And it's something that almost surprised me. And that gets back to the history. Probably nothing is more intimately related than that of light and migraine. And this is something we've known about for years, yet no one ever really thought about using light and the manipulation of light as an actual way to manage the impact of the actual disorder, migraine itself. So what did we know? We know between 80 and 90% of people who have migraine suffer from light sensitivity. We know that 30 to 60% of all migraine attacks are precipitated by exposure to light. We know that once you're in an attack, exposure to light makes it worse and usually will intensify it, which is why people run to a dark room. What people don't know is 40% of all people who suffer from migraine actually experience light sensitivity as a sole symptom in between attacks. And when the FDA asked for the inclusion of the quote-unquote most bothersome symptom that a migraine sufferer has in addition to the conventional headache disorder, the number one symptom was light sensitivity. So you have this incredibly intimate relationship. Now it required medical science to kind of understand, how does light impact migraine? How can that turn into some kind of management property? And that all started really with the science in the early 2010s on the way to 2020. We learned that at the back of a retina, there's a smaller number of cell types called intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells. One of these cell types is what's called a melanopsin secreting cell. These particular cells, when they're stimulated, they'll release a photopigment, which is a protein called melanopsin. And it is thought that photopigment would then go through the optic nerve and act directly onto the thalamus of the brain, which, as we know, is the pain center of the brain. So as that was established, they were looking for, well, how exactly did these cells get stimulated? And there was a very elegant study done in 2016 at Harvard. Well, they took migraine sufferers and they put them in a dark room. And then they exposed them to different colors of light, different wavelengths. And what they found was light in the high end of the blue spectrum, about 480 nanometers, as well as light in the red-amber range, about 590 nanometers, would actually stimulate these cells to release melanopsin. And they found as well that green light actually soothed them. So, and again, I'm putting this all together into one study. It actually was a series of studies performed at different times. But what we essentially what was created was a map. If we could create a lens that would block out the light at the high end of the blue range at 480, block the amber red at 590, but let the green light through, maybe, just maybe, this can have some kind of management effect. And that really was the challenge. We had to sit there. We had to figure out how to create a lens. Once we did create the lens, we then had to decide, can it pass through the phase two part of a scientific trial? In other words, if I gave this lens to 100 migraine subjects, will they get better? If they won't, it stops right there. But if they do, then the next thing in today's world of evidence-based medicine is it a placebo effect or is it a real effect? That was Avalux's 10-year journey. And our first iteration of the lens came out in about 2016. And it basically was a film that we called a thin film that we applied to the surface of the lens. The problem with that, it was a very messy technique. It made the lens very dark. And because it worked by reflecting the bad wavelengths of light, you really required to have a wrap frame. So you had this very dark lens with a wrap frame, would be very expensive to produce the equipment to make these glasses, and you could never really scale them up. But what it did is it gave us a bit of encouragement that, in fact, maybe this is going to work. So with that lens, we continued, we did our provisional pilot, and what we did was we essentially handed it out to patients who suffer from migraine. And what we found was like astonishing. We told individuals, put these glasses on at the earliest onset of a migraine, whether it's an aura in your case, maybe it was just a little bit of tingling in your head, but you knew that was going to bring on a migraine, and then see what happens. Well, what we found was 38% of people, when they put these glasses on at the earliest onset of a headache, it never evolved. They never developed their typical migraine. And it was very funny communicating with them. They said, I thought I was getting a migraine attack. I put glasses on, but it didn't come. So I guess I wasn't even getting one. We knew what was going on. Then we found another 36% of people. It took longer to help relieve some of their light sensitivity and migraine symptoms, but they found that they could either eliminate or reduce their dose of medication that they were taking up until then. And then from my perspective, the most important were the next extra 18%. These were people who didn't get completely better, but that's okay. These were actually generally the more severe cases of migraine called chronic migraine sufferers, and they just were able to continue on with their activities of daily living. And at the end of the day, that is the most important thing. It's not like Avalux has to be used alone. It could be used with medicines. It could be used with other migraine treatment. The important thing about Avalux is it just tries to help a person get through their activities of daily living. So we eventually got a little more sophisticated in our lens development. And in and around 2018, we partnered with a military contract company to develop a new lens using nanotechnology. And essentially, that is the Avalux lens of today. What it is, there are photoactive dyes actually incorporated into the matrix of the lens. And what they do is they absorb the light at 480 and at 590 in a very narrow notch. And it also allows the green light through. So essentially, it follows the science as closely as we could possibly make it. The nice thing is when you do have a precision filter like that, or what we call a narrow notch filter, is when you're looking through the glass, it's not too dark and it doesn't distort your color. So again, people have to be able to tolerate wearing your lens. So today's Avalux lens looks like it has kind of lightest tint. You look through the lens, after a few minutes, you don't even know that you're wearing it because it doesn't distort light. That was the lens that we took and we really progressed upon to do what we call evidence-based medicine clinical trial. We actually hired a third-party clinical research organization to do a double-blind randomized clinical trial comparing Avalux with a placebo. And to just cut to the chase, we reached the highest scientific standard. We were able to prove that Avalux, both clinically and statistically significantly, was better than a sham lens in both the alleviation of migraine pain and light sensitivity at 2 hours and at 4 hours post-application of Avalux. That's when we really knew this worked.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you for outlining that. It's quite the journey. And I feel like there's a lot about this podcast is about sort of the entrepreneur's journey and entrepreneurship in general. I feel like there's so many hurdles and there's so many times when someone might have said, you know what, this is too expensive. It's not going to scale, like you said, it's not worth the effort, but you really stuck with it. As you said earlier, you are going to see this thing through and you really have. And cool to get to a point where you have a military,
It was a military optical contractor because we're already dealing with these sophisticated lenses. In the case of the contractor who helped us develop this, they were in the world of lasers, making glasses to protect the military, particularly pilots, from exposure or disorientation if lasers were pointed at them. So it was kind of thinking out of the box and reaching out to really smarter people than we were, and just incorporating all of their knowledge, all of their insight, and tying it together with what we knew from the science, and sitting down and coming up with the product. And what was interesting too, it was a real evolution because we came up with the Plano lens well before we came up with the prescription lens. That's really just since 2022 that we were able to come up with that.
Yeah, that's incredible. Really amazing. Really like not leaving any stone unturned, right? Just making sure you find every way to bring this thing to life. And it really has come to life. So you mentioned some of the numbers and they're really astounding that such a high percentage of people who wear the lens found some level of benefit, some completely avoided their headache, some got a moderate amount of benefit, some got a little bit, but that's more than they're able to get from anything else so they could continue with their day. And you also mentioned one of the things that I think I mentioned to most people when I talk about Avalux is that it's a non-pharmaceutical option, right? It can be added to anything that you're currently doing without any side effects. But I wonder if you could tell me a little bit more about the efficacy that you've been seeing or kind of the data that you've been collecting from people who wear Avalux.
We have. I mean, the efficacy has been, it's been really just unbelievable. So we've actually been involved in selling our Plano lens and our prescription lenses for quite a while now. And what we typically see is approximately 95% of the people who purchase an Avalux lens, and these are generally speaking people who are just self-referring. So they're making their understanding that they do suffer from migraine, that they do have light sensitivity. And that, by the way, is the criteria that really will determine how effective Avalux is. If you do have light sensitivity with your migraine, chances are it's going to work. And from our experience online, as well as doing pilots with other large optometric groups and others and doing our clinical research, it's between 90 and 95% of people who try Avalux will respond to it. And again, like we talked about, doesn't mean it's going to go away completely. It doesn't mean that it's going to be phenomenally better. But the fact that 95% of people keep it is because it does help them get through their activities of daily living. And when you think about the fact that light is the most bothersome symptom, it makes sense. You're actually helping them get through their day. And look what our days since COVID, how many of us just spend our days on a computer all day long being exposed to a digital screen? You can understand, you can really can see how important an option like this is.
Yeah, wonderful. So speaking of light, I mean, most of this conversation is going to be about light, but the most famous type of light is blue light. And a lot of times I'll have patients come in who are migraine patients. As I mentioned, I'm talking to them, digging in a little deeper about their symptoms. And they'll tell me that, oh, I'm thinking about buying some blue light glasses from Amazon, or I've bought them already, but now I'm thinking maybe I need better blue light glasses that should help me. We know that there's a lot of debate on the blue light topic, and it seems to be leaning more and more in a certain direction that blue light blocking is not really as helpful as we thought it once was, or that some people would like us to believe it is. I'd love for you, if you could first share your understanding about blue light and the effects of it, and then where does that fall in the conversation with Avalux? Blue light versus Avalux, if we're really going to try to create a hot take here.
No, no problem. It's like trying to compare an egg with a baseball bat. they really are. Your conventional blue light blocker, and I don't want to profess to be an expert in blue light because I'm not, but typical blue light blockers block blue in a much lower wavelength range between 420 and 450 nanometers. That's not going to have any effect on patients who suffer from migraine. The science is very clear that the stimulation and then the elicitation of the impulse of the melanopsin secreting cell occurs in a very narrow band at 480. So you're not even hitting the right wavelength. So is there any anticipation that a classic blue light blocker would work on a migraine? The answer would be absolutely not.
And so again, to reiterate, this is one of the most important things. I love that Harvard study and I love the graph that comes out. It's so easy to just understand. But what, if you haven't seen the graph or if you haven't heard the previous conversation that I've had with Dr. Pasternak, it's, as he described earlier, they have these migraine patients and they took them in a dark room and exposed them to certain wavelengths of light, colors of light. And the graph that comes with it is perfect. It's like blue light, the bars go up. Amber light, the bars go up. Red light, the bars go up. Green light, the bars go down. And that's kind of expressing the patient's pain or sensitivity to light. So it's very easy to see the difference. So blocking blue light, sure, is important. But like you mentioned, that 480 nanometer range is really where it's important. Then there's a different type of lens, which has been very popular in the discussion for migraine, also in concussion, TBI, that type of space. And that's the FL41. I wonder if you can give me a little bit of background on what FL41 is and why it's been believed to be helpful.
So FL41 actually is a very interesting technology, and it came out, I guess it would be in the 80s. And if you speak to the individual who actually invented it, the word FL stands for fluorescent. And it was originally created to mitigate the effect of the flickering of a fluorescent light when that was really popular in the 80s and early 90s. Where you'd be, say, working in a store where you'd have these large fluorescent lights above you and they would constantly be just kind of flittering off and off and we'd be very uncomfortable. So FL41 is a technology that has been very old. It's a technology that's been around for a very long time. It was to treat migraine. And again, if you look at a graph of the absorption and the reflection of light, FL41 does not block anywhere near the amount of 480 and 590 that we do, that are precision optical filter, but it also blocks green light. So it essentially is not allowing the healing light through, but what it's doing is it's not even blocking enough of the high blue and then the red amber range.
Right. Absolutely. Of course, it's letting in the red amber because it's got that sort of tint to it. But the studies have found that even that kind of red range is actually uncomfortable or potentially harmful for patients who are suffering from light sensitivity and migraine. And I think the biggest key when I talk to my colleagues about FL41 is when you're talking about light sensitivity, we have, again, from that Harvard study, not to overstate it, but that green light has been shown to be soothing and the FL41 completely blocks that out. So it's not helpful in that regard. So those two comparisons are probably the most common comparisons that I get when I speak to my colleagues of how can we help mitigate migraine and light sensitivity symptoms that our patients have. They'll say, well, blue light blocking or FL41, but we find that those only help with small parts of the spectrum. And in fact, they don't help with other parts that we need the help. That's where Avalux comes in. On the topic of FL41, one of the companies has been very prominent in that space is a company called Axon. And I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about Axon. There's some big news here with Avalux and Axon. I'd love for us to kind of share this and celebrate this. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe give you a bit of background on Axon and then what's happening now.
Sure. I mean, Axon Optics, again, has been in the industry a very long time, 10 or 12 years, and they've always been the kind of gold standard in the world of glasses. And the company's ownership included a very prominent neuro-ophthalmologist and an optical engineer, Dr. Brett and Dr. Steve Blair. And they actually are the original inventors of the patent of what Avalux is today, essentially the blocking of the 480 and the 590 nanometer wavelengths. So it's always been a very respected company. It's a company that's led the industry. They're probably the most visited website in and around the migraine space. And yeah, it is very exciting because very recently, Axon has decided that they wanted to offer their customers really the best and the greatest of what they consider to be for the management of light sensitivity and migraine. And they've essentially stopped selling FL41 and now they have become an Avalux provider.
Wow.
And really their reasoning is really quite simple. There was nothing bad about FL41 and it did help a lot of people and it probably still does. It just does not have the science behind it that Avalux does. And it doesn't have the proven clinical efficacy that Avalux has. And they just felt at this time, they just want to offer the best and the most appropriate option for those who've been their customers for a very long time.
That's incredible. So they were basically the biggest name in FL41. And Dr. Brad Katz, obviously somewhat of a pioneer in this space, realized that what was happening at Avalux was more helpful to patients than FL41, so much so that they've combined forces now. What does that look like from a practitioner who's looking to Axon? What does that look like for them? Are they just going to come to Avalux? There's no more Axon Optics available at all.
So the Axon Optics company, I mean, it still exists. They just don't sell FL41 anymore. they converted everything over to the Avalex technology. Any provider that used to work with Axon, obviously they're more than welcome to work with us. We would love that. Our goal is, without a doubt, to get the Avalex lens to as many people who could benefit from it as possible. If I had my dream and my other eye care professional in North America and around the world, they would be able to at least offer Avalex as an option to their patients. And I think the takeaway really is eye care professionals really should, and they will become the first line caregivers for people who suffer from migraine. All they have to do is just stop when they bring their patients in, ask them, do you suffer from migraine? Do you have light sensitivity? They'll be shocked with how many people will say yes. And then being exposed to Avalex, you're going to just change their lives. So the one thing I just love about being on your podcast, obviously, Harbir, is you have great reach, you have great respect, and this is just a great forum for us. And to be perfectly honest, it was from your first podcast 2 years ago that we were fortunate enough that an eye care professional in Australia listened to it and now has hooked us up. And now we are a mainstream lens in Australia, and we've recently got our Class 1 medical device approval there. But it was through your outreach from this podcast. So hey, anyone who's listening to here, we'd love to have you become one of our distributors. I promise you, your patients will be very happy that you do.
That's incredible. It's very hard to know that somebody, we have listeners in Australia, we know that they're tuning in. And again, I think that last conversation we had really stuck with a lot of people across North America and clearly in other parts of the world. I'm really happy that it was helped support such a useful product, that's something that's going to help so many people. And we can do to make the optical industry better, the healthcare system better. That's amazing. We go to how ECPs can get their hands on this in just a second, but I want to go back to what you mentioned about becoming the first line here. I don't think eye care providers really have wrapped their heads around how we can be the first line of treatment and healthcare provider for somebody who's dealing with migraine. We're told in school, we're experts on light. Optometrists, optics is our expertise. So if we know that light is the primary symptom and trigger for these patients, we have the power to now, especially with tools like Avalex at our fingertips, we have the power to mitigate that. So I think it's really important we start to wrap our heads around that and realize we have the power to help so many people. Comparing myself to myself 2 or 3 years ago, where I would say, okay, scratch, you know, write down migraine, move on to the next thing. Instead of just writing down migraine, let's ask a couple more questions. Let's see, is light really one of the key symptoms or triggers? And now offer the minimum thing we can do is let the patient know that there is a tool, there is a treatment option out there that could potentially help them. I feel like we're doing a disservice if we're not at least doing that, even if we don't sell it ourselves. By the way, just so you know, this technology exists. I mean, but if you're going to talk about it, you might as well be selling it. But I want to make a quick comparison. Anytime I talk about implementing a new treatment protocol or strategy or whatever it might be, the easiest comparison I can make or analogy I can make is to dry eye. Dry eye is one of the biggest topics in eye care these days. And when I started kind of venturing into the dry eye world a few years ago, I thought, like, where do I start? I don't think I have enough dry eye patients. I'm going to have to start marketing to people. I'm going to have to start bringing people in externally. Some of my colleagues and the experts in the space were just like, no, just mention it to people. Just say the words out loud to your existing patients. And you'll be surprised how many people actually have this issue that you can treat right there in your exam room. And that's absolutely the thing. Like, we implemented a very simple questionnaire. And I know that's one of the strategies with Avalex as well. Implement a simple questionnaire. It triggers a conversation. Look, you scored XYZ on this. That tells me that you're having these symptoms. Here's how we can help. And I went from thinking that maybe 10% or 20% of my patients had dry eye to now saying probably like 75% of my patients are dealing with some form of dry eye. And the same goes with light sensitivity and migraine. If you start asking your patients, when they even give you a hint of they might be dealing with light sensitivity or migraine, or if you implement a questionnaire, that would help even more. You just start mentioning it. You'll realize there is a very large proportion of your patients, existing people in your exam chair, in your clinic, in your office optical, that are already dealing with it. So not like you got to bring this product in and start go advertising like crazy. Just have the conversation. That's where it all starts. So I'll step off my soapbox. I just wanted to make sure I got that off my chest. So going back to what you said about having providers across North America or in Australia, other countries offering this to patients, who can offer this and how can they start to do that?
Sure. Any eye care professional has an interest in just what's best for their patients can do it. All they have to do is contact us. We have all the materials that they would need. We have a training program that we can help them with. We have a very cool like ECP starter kit that we learn from our best practices in Australia. And essentially, it is a package that comes with 3 Avalex fitovers, along with sales materials for the patient and a light questionnaire. So essentially, it's on a dry erase marker. Just it asks the patients, do you experience light sensitivity? Do you experience it in association with migraine? Just some very simple questions. And if the patient answers yes to any one of them, have the conversation. And what's really cool is, in what we've learned from our previous experience, if you have these fitovers in your office, if the patient is symptomatic at the time, just put them on over their existing glasses. And if they tell you, like, wow, this is soothing, this is so cool. And maybe if they don't know, if they don't have the light sensitivity, or they're not sure, or maybe they're waiting for a migraine to come, they can take it home with them, leave a deposit, take the fitovers over. This way, you know you're going to help patients. So we've created this kit that literally within 24 hours, anyone who wants to become an Avalux distributor can be educated and have everything that they need to start selling Avalux to their patients the next day. And it is our goal. I mean, we do want to get this out to as many migraine sufferers as we possibly can. I mean, this is a disease that has been undertreated for years and years. And if we have something as simple and non-invasive as what we have with no adverse events, hey, can only get better.
Well, yeah, from any treatment standpoint, to have something that's that effective and has no side effects or no adverse events, that seems like the holy grail, right? That's what everybody's hoping for and working towards. And of course, this is helping a lot of people. As you mentioned, it's not necessarily going to help every single patient eliminate every single migraine, but it's going to help them feel better. And on the other side, there's no downside to trying it and wearing it. So that's really amazing. So ECPs out there who are listening, if you're interested in helping your patients in mitigating these symptoms, make sure you look into this. And Dr. Pasternak, where can people inquire further about Avalux?
Yeah, first of all, we'd love you to visit our website at avalux.com, and that's spelled A-V-U like United States, L-U-X, avalux.com, and tons of information on that website. And then all you have to do is reach out to us, contact us through the website, and we'll make sure you get started. We will do everything we can. We'll hook you up with our finishing labs. If you have your own lab, that's fine too. We have semi-finish pucks we can get to you. It doesn't matter how. Just reach out to us and we'll make it happen. And I really would encourage you, go to the website, read the science. The science is real. You'll be able to see a link to our clinical research, and then just read some of the testimonials. And again, these are obviously very real and very honest testimonials. And it's just heartwarming to read some of the things that people write down. And again, as Harbir said, we're not here to treat or cure migraine. We're here to manage the impact of light sensitivity on those who have migraine. And so many of them do have light sensitivity. And by managing this one symptom, you can completely change their lives.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So avalux.com or Canadians, avalux.ca, but make sure you reach out through the website. What else did I want to say about that? Actually, now I feel like I'm blanking on something here, but I think that's great. The starter kit is really something that's super helpful. I feel like when I'm implementing a new technology, I need my hand held a little bit. I need some simple instructions on step 1, 2, 3, how to get this thing, get the ball rolling. And so having that beautiful starter kit too, the box, everything, just really well made. I think it's going to really encourage not just the ECPs, but their staff as well, because that's always so important, right? Getting your staff on board, getting your front desk and your office manager, everybody else on board and speaking to patients the same way about these things. So that's wonderful. Thank you again, Dr. Pasternak, for coming on the podcast and sharing all this wonderful information and really helping us, as I mentioned earlier, bringing awareness to this topic that is so often just kind of neglected and overlooked, realizing how many patients we can help, how many people around the world can be helped from such a simple, in the sense of easy to implement technology. Anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Just if you're going to be going to the Vision Expo, please, East in New York City, please come by and see us. And just to put it into a more tangible perspective, in Canada, there's about 6 million people who suffer from migraine. In the United States, it's approximately 47 million. There's a lot of potential people who are waiting for your help.
That is a lot of people, a lot of people. I remembered what I wanted to say earlier, and that is that I'm going to put all of those links in the notes. So if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or wherever, if you're on YouTube, just go down into the caption below and you'll see the links to some of the studies, to the website and so on. So you know exactly where to look. Thanks again, Dr. Pasternak. Always a pleasure to chat with you. And I'll see you in New York, by the way. I'll be there. So if you're there, also give me a shout. I'd love to connect with everybody out there, but make sure you stop by Avalux and chat with Chuck and the rest of the team there just to kind of see what they're up to. Thank you again, everybody who's tuning in. Thank you again for all the support. Thanks for listening to the 2020 Podcast, Canada's #1 optometry podcast. I will see you in the next episode.
Take care, everybody. Stay safe.